ever looked at somebody and knew you were just meant to be? Would you recognize your soulmate if they were standing right in front of you? Join us at the U Twofold, presented on Blog Talk Radio Network. And now, here are your hosts, Colin Martin and Gabrielle Harpon.
Good evening, everyone. This is Gabriella Hartwell, and I am joined this evening by my wonderful co-host, Colin Martin. How are you, Colin? Hello? Colin, where did you go? Okay. Well, we'll get him back here. are you there, Louis?
I sure am. Colin went AWOL on us.
I know. Where'd he go? Okay. Maybe that was planned. Was this planned?
Maybe.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll just, let me see. I think he might be back on. Colin, is that you?
Yes. How are you guys doing tonight?
Oh, what happened?
Wonderful.
Skype is not what it's cracked up to be anymore.
Oh. Well, at least we got you back. That's all that matters.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be great. Elsie, how are you doing tonight, man?
I am jazzed. I'm drinking a cup of tea, and I'm ready to roll.
Yeah, we really appreciate you being back again. It was one of the most popular shows we've had, and this is going to be great. I can't wait to hear about this new book. It's going to be wonderful.
My pleasure.
We'd actually like to have you come on every show if you'd like to be another co-host. So we really think that you're great and what you're doing is great, and I'm just going to give a little introduction to you. We have Louis Charles with us this evening, and he is a writer, speaker, and a web publisher of the popular website Angels and Ghosts. He's also a husband and a father of three. He has been searching 30 years for the truth of who we are in the grand scheme of things, which is not only with ghosts, but really the relationship with a lot of things. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like to me, from reading your first book as well as this one, Louis, that what you're really dealing with is kind of releasing fear, you know, in our just perception of what is possible and getting to the core of going within ourselves for truth. Is that right?
That's it, fear and beliefs. I had found that my world was at one time completely guided by my beliefs, and I just had come to the realization at one point that I'd formed beliefs because I didn't know, and these ultimately were the roots of a lot of my fears, and so as I began exploring those beliefs and facing fears head on to see what was behind the curtain, kind of like Dorothy at the Wizard of Oz. I pulled back the curtain, and I just found a man behind there, you know, pulling the strings. So, this just sort of evolved. I mean, I know the topic of ghosts is a lot different than the subject from the first book, but I was just compelled deep inside me to understand more about spirits. And I was always troubled by the fact that there's so much teaching of separation out there within religion from the standpoint that some are going up and some are going down, you know, heaven, hell, et cetera. And it just always bothered me. And I just knew deep inside there was such a thing as ghosts and misunderstood. And I just kept following the small voice within.
Well, that's great. I think this is great work that you're doing because, as I think we kind of touched on before when it was just you and I speaking about the shows that are on TV now, regarding ghosts and how they're really fear-based and they are not clear as to understanding what's going on and why they exist and if they exist and so forth. Really, it's about fear, and when we can release that, then we can really understand things better and have, like, a relationship with them, which is, I think, what you're also really saying in the book is to, as helping ghosts is it's a title, but also, you know, having a relationship with them.
Well, I just think that we need to come to understand the understanding that if ghosts are disembodied human spirits, then they're people. And we have relationship with people in bodies, and we interact, and we need that interaction. We, are not loners, so to speak. We're social animals, and you know, looking at the idea of ghosts, I just had found myself at one time seeing the grave as, you know, the end all, and that, you know, people on the other side were so disconnected from me, and that was my misperception. And I think through the journey of discovery, I came to realize, or prove to myself at least, what I knew deep inside is that, you know, we're all connected, and that, you know, spirits interact with us all the time, and there are no walls except for what we throw up within our mind.
Well, Lewis, that begs the question for me. You know, ever since I was a child, I've never been afraid of ghosts because if you have a grandmother and she passes away and let's say you happen to be communicating or you happen to see your grandmother later, why in the world would you be afraid of someone that you loved so dearly? Is it something that's in our DNA, or is this something created by the social structure? I don't really believe that the social structure can create something so profound. Is there something within us that gives us this inherent fear to begin with?
Well, I think what's inherent is first of all that we have a tendency to, you know, our survival instinct is based upon fear, and fear itself is not something bad, but it's what you do with it. So, you know, that survival mode is to react, and if we don't understand something, our first impulse is to fear it. But, you know, to add to that, when you consider, you know, common societal beliefs, especially in Western society, there is just a prevalent underlying theme of fearing death and fearing ghosts and fearing hell and fearing an angry God. And, I mean, I just keep going on. And, you know, it's superstition. It's that, you know, when you really go back and you dig into the roots of these things, they just don't have much leg to stand on.
No, they don't.
Sorry, folks out there, but we need to dig deeper and look beyond our fears, and you just might see something new.
Well, yeah, you mentioned Western culture, so I'm kind of curious now, and I'm sure you've done the research in the book, that how do other, say, Eastern cultures or other cultures, do they have the same kind of fear of ghosts, or do they have a different understanding of the spirit world?
Well, I think you'll see all different types of beliefs surrounding ghosts. You know, most religions do have some form, even if it's a sect within that religion, of beliefs in ghosts. I talk about, touch on in Judaism, if you look in Kabbalah, you know, a mystical form of Judaism, you know, there's a teaching about the Divok, which is a disembodied human spirit, and how that clinging spirit, that's what it means in Hebrew, clinging spirit can attach to a person that has a body, you know, just hang around them and bug them. And there's actually a ritual to kind of want to say, I hate to use this word, exercise, as an exorcism, but there's a ritual to help that person. And that's what's nice about it, is in Kabbalah, they view that as a person who needs help to resolve past issues so they can move forward and be healed, and then the person and body can move forward in their life journey as well and be healed. So, you know, there's beliefs around the world concerning ghosts, and there's, you know, negative beliefs, and then there's positive beliefs. So there's just a lot, a lot to answer there.
And I think that probably can change when it goes into, you know, fear-based, or when it goes into positive, like you were thinking, probably releasing of the fear and what you express a lot, you know, and then your perception can change. And I'd really love if you would express, you know, the difference between ghost versus spirit. I know that you do talk about that in the book, but just for our listeners to be a little clear, is there more than one? Like, there's our human level. Is there more than one, and is there layers of existence after in your perception and experience? And would you consider, like, spirits being more like I think you mentioned, like the angelic guides and spirit guides and so forth, versus ghosts are, I think, a little more lost and need help transitioning? And I'd just love if you wanted to share a little about that.
Well, I started formulating what I was hearing inside of me years ago, And I just started envisioning the realm, like if ever, the realm being just one energy, and you know, everything being energies within that energy. And so you have elevation within that energy. You have higher and lower, so to speak. And I could take those energies into being, you know, very base, as simple as thoughts. So you'd have higher thoughts and lower thoughts, and groups of thoughts being, people within that energy, so to speak. And so I guess when I view people, I guess I see all of us as energies within that energy. I see all of us as spirits within that one spirit. But where we're at concerning what we know about ourselves, what we know about the whole versus what we believe, the falsehoods, etc., that to me creates a distinction. And I think in some teachings, when you do look back at something like the Bible, the teachings about dark and light, you know, light represents truth and really has no contrary. But darkness would just mean a lack of understanding. It's not that it's more powerful than light. It just means that light hasn't shined there yet to comprehend, to know. And so looking at this all-encompassing energy of people connected, interacting within this whole life source, I think there's an elevation that's occurring, that all of us are on a path, a continuing journey, beyond this realm even, of ascending, of ever learning, ever growing, never grasping at complete, total comprehension, so to speak, because I think it's something shared by the whole. And I think that's our purpose in being individualities, is sharing within, sharing these different perspectives of what we're learning and grasping. So to me, to answer your question briefly about the difference between spirits and ghosts, I find that we have a tendency to label everything. A ghost is just a spirit, a word to define somebody who has not moved beyond the earth realm. It's just a person who has died, in this case regarding a human ghost, that has stayed here for various reasons, connected to the past, ultimately held here by their own fear, unable to move forward in the life journey until something's reconciled here, until something's resolved. And then a healing takes place. And that's something I'd like to touch on a little bit here, is this is an important message because there's a healing that takes place, not only for the person that we don't see, you know, the disembodied spirit, the ghost, or whatever label you want to put on them, but also for those of us that are in bodies. So I hope that answers it, Gabriella.
Yes, I think it does very well, and I like that you brought this up because that was one of the questions I was going to ask you, too, if you wanted to touch on that, you know, the oneness and the goodness you were sharing about, which is in your We Are More Than Bodies section. And I just have to praise this book. I love it so much. I just sat down and didn't want to put it down. And
well,
it's just
you.
Very well, it's so awesome, like, the way you wrote it, just your emotions and everything just flows, the experiences and just everything. And I really love the section, We Are More Than Bodies, a lot. And I wanted to see if maybe you could talk a little bit about that too, you know, on the disconnection and false perception, you know, that when we transition out of body, you were kind of mentioning in there how we still have free will to choose, as you were saying, darkness being the unknown, that, or fear, you know, or light as we can on earth. We still have a choice, and we can move on, or we can still be attached, as you say, to either fears or to people, you know, that we've had in our lives, or even our bodies.
Well, yeah, I found myself, you know, when I've done a lot of contemplating over the years, and you know, looking back, it's like examining what I believed and why I believed it. And I found myself realizing that I had really focused everything regarding the interaction with my body, et cetera. In other words, I believed the body to be who I really was. So the things associated with my body. You know, people see me and they think this is who I am. They identify me with my past successes and failures. And I think it's that way for all of us. We have a tendency to be labeled, and we label ourselves, and we believe that's who we are. And deep down, if we take the time to connect with our inner core, we connect with something greater than the body. We connect with something eternal, something that at heart is love, non-fearing. It seems to be connected to the all-knowing and eternal and peace-giving and joyous. And it just seems when we live our life solely focused on the body and looking outside of ourselves and seeing the world only through our eyeballs, well, then what we view is something disconnected, something separate, something that we're constantly striving and struggling to identify with. And that's where more fear builds up, layers and layers of fears, and beliefs are formed based on those experiences with the body and the things outside of it. When, you know, we look at something as simple as meditation, we really detach from the body. We relax, and we just focus on what's deep inside. And the body kind of melts away from our minds for a moment, for a brief moment. And we identify with our source, with that connection. And that's where the healing is. And that's why I say that we're much more than bodies, because when I started finding that place inside, I started finding peace, I started finding healing, I started finding love, and I found that, you know, love is not something we're void of. Love is already there. We just might not be aware of it. Healing is already there. We just need to become aware of it. We need to become awakened to it. And so it's, you know, when we live a lifetime solely focused externally and on this physical realm and on our body, when that passes, there's the chance that we might not move beyond this realm.
That's exactly right, Lewis. I know that to be true. A number of years ago, well, it's about 20 now, I was actually part of a group of people that were called a spirit rescue circle, and that we would help ghosts to find an understanding and a healing so that they could move on. And the basic tenet of it was that people who are very egocentric or believe that their entire existence is within the body and the three-dimensional earthly realm, they stay behind in fear of letting go of that and not realizing the other potential of moving forward. And that the ghosts that have the problem or issue of being able to move forward spent a lot of their earthly time believing that the body and the ego was what made them who they were. And when they had to let go of that, they almost went into a panic mode or almost, again, a survivalistic mode, to unable to let go. And we would help those spirits understand some of the things that we talk about on this show that you can do now about understanding your greater self and the things that are beyond the ego. And when they started to learn and see that, they were able to pass on.
Well, that is so right there, and it brings us there was a thought that I wanted to share concerning that. That lock on the physical realm and the body that you talk about can be hard to break. And some might ask the question, well, okay, let's assume there's ghosts. Why can't people in spirit that are enlightened that aren't bound to this realm help them? And my answer is always that they are trying to help. That's what I found through my research and in my investigations and work, was that people in spirit that are enlightened, guides, family members, etc., are trying to reach. But there is a power in working with people on this side of the grave, because the focus of the ghost, the focus of the lost spirit, is on this realm and on those in bodies. So sometimes they're more apt to hear a message from us. They're more apt to take guidance from us because they're sometimes trying to communicate with us. So
right.
Now if they get a response back from us, well, hey, now we've got two-way communication. And the spirits that are enlightened, they're always there to help. They're always there to guide. They're always there to assist. That was the other thing that was predominant in the experiences that I wrote about. And I was quite surprised by it. I mean, it was something that I guess if I thought through, I would say, yeah, it should be that way. It would be that way. But to actually record spirit voices and have interactions with enlightened spirits while doing this rescue work, while trying to help ghosts, that really blew my mind and brought comfort at the same time. You know, I talk about the near-death experience in that how when a person's body is about to expire, that the enlightened spirits are there while the person, you know, if they're on the deathbed, et cetera, there's many accounts of spirits there, guides or whatever you want to call them, angels or, you know, earthly friends or family or, you know, benevolent beings. And I really came to understand that their mission is really to try to take away the fear as much as possible, to ease the transition. It's almost like they begin conversing with them if there's time before the death. There's a conversation that takes place, almost like friendly conversation. It's not like they're really trying to do too much. There might be some messages, et cetera, that are relevant to their passing. But other times it just seems like they're trying to communicate and make that bond. So when the person does expire, they just naturally go with them into the light and move forward. But sometimes that doesn't happen.
Well, it's interesting that you... go ahead, Gabriella. Sure.
I wanted to share an experience that I had too, actually a couple here, and then ask a couple questions in relation to it. The first experience that I recall having was at a wake that I went to, and you had mentioned too in the book about this, where someone is in your communication with a ghost, that they just need comfort, that everything's going to be okay. And this is the experience that I had, and then I went to this wake of you know, my mother's husband's father. This is my first experience of a wake too, and when I got to his physical body, what I heard was actually like him communicating to me, and I could feel his concern for his family, and I felt him there watching over them and asking, is everything going to be okay, and his concern, and I was just, of course, not verbally, but soul to soul communicating that everything was going to be okay, and I felt the peace after I said that, you know, after I exchanged that with him, but nonetheless, he was still a little, you know, concerned for them. So that was my first experience, and I mean, I could understand that. But the second experience for me, I wasn't quite clear, and I just wanted to share it and then maybe see how we can communicate with, you know, spirits or ghosts that come to us if we don't have the equipment that you have in the book. So the experience I had was I was communicating with a friend. We were in the living room, and we had shut off all the lights because we were about to go to transition to going to sleep, and we were still sharing in the dark. And all of a sudden, we both felt and saw this, like you say, like a form of could be darkness energy. They're like kind of like if someone ran into the room, and we felt the anger, a lot of anger, and I felt it was female energy. And it was behind me in the couch, so it was right behind me, and I felt that the presence was going to touch me or wanted to reach out in that way. And for me, I'm a very aware person, and as you're saying, I think that, you know, we really, with this this whole relationship and interaction that we can have with ghosts, is really to release a lot of the fear and be aware in the process, though. So what I recognized was my fear that came up in this experience, because it wasn't something I had experienced before. So I had to kind of work within myself to release that. And then I started not verbally, but soul-to-soul communicating, you know, or energy-to-energy, however you want to say it, with this ghost, that it's not acceptable to come at me with that energy like that, but that I'm here for, you know, any communication with love and so forth. And I felt after that experience that the energy relaxed, and it was still with me. I didn't have any direct communication or experience after that, but just feeling that the presence was still with me, and then finally transitioned. And I guess I just wanted, the two-part question was how we can, people who don't have the equipment, but who, as you were saying in the book, they know, and maybe they're spreading it around, you know, the ghosts and so forth, that you now can hear them and communicate with them and help them. And we can still be open to that experience, even if we don't have the equipment that, you know, you have in the groups that are out there like yours. But how can we, you know, help and interact with them without having that type of equipment? That's the first part question, so I'll let you know.
Well, you know, for me, the first way I began interacting with spirits was I just had a spiritual awakening, and that drove me into meditation. And I write about that in the book, that I believe that we need to go deeper. You know, if we want to understand ghosts and spirits, then we need to go deeper than just touching on the surface. Becoming awake and becoming aware of who you really are deep inside, to me, is the first step. It's a step in growth and in awareness, and eventually over time, you know, I became aware that I was receiving you know, communications from people in spirit that were enlightened, and that to me is, you know, something that I fall back on. You know, when I walk through, if I get called in on a case and I go, and you know, I follow my inner tuition. I found that a lot of times it's spot on, and you know, I just try to listen deep inside and you know, not ever allowing fear to enter into my mind. So the first thing, I guess, is to learn to face your fears and overcome them about this. The second thing would be the use of meditation, which kind of goes hand in hand with, you know, slaying those demons of fear. and you'll become aware of thoughts that aren't your own. I always describe it as a knowing inside. And for me, I follow that voice, that voice that resonates deep inside me. And a lot of times those thoughts will drop in from enlightened spirits to give you insight regarding what you should be following or what you should be doing. And you just kind of know it. It's just kind of a nagging. You know, they kind of go, it all goes hand in hand. And I found when I follow that path and communicate, the third thing is to communicate, which I describe as compassionate communication, meaning speaking openly. So if you know you have somebody that's trying to get your attention, then I like to acknowledge them just like I would anybody. And speak forth truth. In the book, I share the insights of what I like to openly communicate, and it's something that I like to explain, like we're having a conversation, and you know, like this is what's going on. You know, you're okay. We hear you. You know, I know that you're there, but you're all right. Your body's expired, but you're still alive. And you're remaining here, and you haven't moved on with loved ones in the light. You know, for whatever reason, maybe there's something that you're afraid of. And I just kind of speak from my heart and go and just allow that to take over. And what I'm waiting for is I'm waiting for confirmation from those in spirit that are with me to let me know the direction I need to take. And you'll know. You'll just get like a gut instinct of to say this or to go down this path. and in the communication process. And what I'm looking for, though, is the end result. The end result happens when you're able to lead them to the light, to loved ones. If you're able to make an emotional connection and bring to their remembrance loved ones in spirit that are eager to be with them and are with them now, trying to reach them. If you can get them to turn from the past and focus on the present, then they can connect and they can feel that love then. They can feel that peace and that joy and see those loved ones and move forward. And when that happens, that's when the healing takes place. And I just got to share this with your audience because I write about that. I call it the release in the book. Do you remember that, Gabriella?
I believe so, yes. You talked about healing and then just a energy shift and the light, and they move towards the light and you feel that as well.
Yeah, it's like a blessing. It's when that energy shifts from one of fear and like a wall almost to one of love and peace and joy. Now, I want to share some of this from your audience or to your audience. I've been getting different pieces of feedback about this, and Kathy from California had just written me a nice email where they went out to help cross this ghost that they knew was there. And she said, after all this was said and done, I could not believe the energy that overconsumed us. But it was an energy that was so positively charged, we couldn't wipe the smiles off our faces. And I read that, and I'm going, okay. So I emailed her back. I said, wow, great story, Kathy. How would you describe that energy? Would you describe it as love, peace, and joy? That's how I describe it. You know, great job. And I was eagerly waiting a response, and she said, let me see what she said. What did she say? She said, exactly, love, peace, and joy. No other way to describe it. And somebody that was with her even started to cry. He was so happy, and none of them could wipe their smiles off their faces. She said it was a real Kodak moment. And I wrote her back again because I wanted some more clarification. See, because I want to see what they're thinking and what they're experiencing. And I asked, I said, I'm glad to hear the confirmation of the feeling that occurs at the end of rescuing ghosts. Had others with you that night ever felt a spirit presence in such a way? And she took it as that night. She said, absolutely, so-and-so, two different people, both got the same feeling. But the one person was stronger than ours. He was, he's crying, he's so happy. And it was also the sense of knowing that these poor lost spirits finally got to go home. And they were no more dwelling in darkness. She said, and this was unique because I had never heard, I've had communications with her quite a bit. She's a friend of mine. But she said, one other thing I forgot to tell you, that when we did this, I could actually hear the voices of these earthbound spirits saying to us, thank you for saving them. And that's happened to us, by the way, on cases that, I've been a part of. Laura Lynn, who's a very talented psychic medium, has heard that a number of times. But Kathy goes on to say, and this kind of fits with what your question was, there was no need for a ghost box or digital voice recorder. I could hear this plain as ever. It would have been, great to have recorded it, but at the time I just felt no need to do it. Our main goal was spirit rescue, and they knew they had accomplished it. And that's the message I'm trying to get people to comprehend is that there is such a healing that takes place, not only with the ghost and the uniting with family members, but with us. It's like a pebble in a pond. It's that one ripple that just goes across the pond of all of humanity. I think that when we're healing one part, we're healing the whole. We're healing ourselves. And I had Shirley is a friend of mine. She says, I think this book is waking the living. And I got to read just a couple more things real quick because this is really cool. I just got this message from Robin out of Tennessee. She says, you're going beyond telling a story. I can feel something more that affects me on a deeper level. I wonder how many are picking up the magnitude of some of these statements that you're making. And, you know, people are telling me that, they're changing with this idea that they're being healed from fear by reading this book. And it's, something's changing within them. And then in practice, they're also physically, tangibly feeling that healing power when the ghost actually heals and moves forward, that love just manifests. So it's really cool to get some feedback like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, and I agree with you that, you know, we're, like you say in the book, that we are all one, and as we do to one, we do to all of us. I definitely agree with that on a very deep level. And I want to say, since that experience from California, that I just shared, mm-hmm. I have had, you know, growth and experience as well. And I know that I feel, and it's, you probably feel this too, that the more aware that you are, the more you can hear, you know, the thoughts that are not from you, you know, the communication from spirit,
yeah.
And releasing the ego and having in fear, you know, and having it be a companion with you, even acknowledging it, because I've had this one experience where I knew my mother's friend's daughter passed away, and she came to me to communicate messages that she wanted to give to my mom and to her friend. And I knew that she, just as I was approaching my apartment, I knew she was there. But, and there was that little bit of fear that was there that I had to recognize and just let it go. And then, you know, be open to the experience. And then when I was there, I was able to, and as you said, I totally understand the feeling of peace, because as I walked in and I was in her presence, her energy was so peaceful, such peace and love. She had like nothing that she was holding on to, any darkness. It was just such peace and love. And, but she just wanted to get these messages, you know.
Sure,
to,
resolve it.
To her mom. And yeah, and I just sat down, and as you were saying, I just took a couple cards and just wrote whatever she wanted said, you know, out without my mind getting in the way, and just expressing what came out. And it was just amazing. And I wanted to share with you, or rather ask you, something you say in the book about fear, and you say that the human experience has taught me that the mind makes real what it chooses to fearfully believe. And I wanted to, because I think, it, as you say, it's important for people to release fear, to be open to this experience and this interaction and relationship that is possible and available for us with helping ghosts. And you also mentioned an experience of where someone in the group got scratched, kind of a little, you know, by a ghost. And I guess I just wanted to share. Did that? Is it because of that person being having a little fear in the belief of the communication that created that, or can we actually be harmed, or is it really within our belief that we can be harmed that creates that?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. You know, we're still dealing with people, and people have, you know, a multitude of personalities. And, you know, one thing that I did find in the research is that, you know, there are ghosts that are more adept at making their presence known, manipulating our environment to some degree, being capable of altering their appearances to appear frightening, et cetera. Again, even though, and I try to play this down in the book, even though, you know, I've had friends that were pushed and scratched, and, you know, accounts of people being smothered, and, you know, with pillows, attempted, you know, attempts at smothering, et cetera. What I want the reader to do is take a step back and realize that these are people, and that, A, our fears absolutely will magnify and empower any other person that wants to use that against us. For example, I always say that if I fear somebody here, then I'm just handing over control to them. They're going to, you know, possibly control me, you know, on this side of the grave. And, you know, we're kind of instinctively that way. We're always looking for a leader. We walk in a classroom, we're looking for who the teacher or the instructor is, you know, and you go to school, who's leading this charade? And if there's no leader, somebody will eventually assume the position. And I kind of view it that way with working with ghosts. Most of them are not ill-willed, but there are a few bad eggs out there. I'm saying that jokingly. meaning that they have ill will, and some have ill intentions, and will try to manipulate for personal gratification. But if we take a step back and we say, you know what, if this is the response of a hurting person, they're doing these things to temporarily feel better about themselves for the temporary high that it brings them, and identify them again as human, not succumbing to fearful beliefs that this is a demon or this is a devil or this thing's going to kill me or, you know, this type of thing. But, you know, remaining confident in who you are, being strong in spirit, strong in the knowledge of who you are and your connectedness, that whole energy, and not succumbing to the fear, but being empowered by love, compassion, and trying to identify with the person. That's how we can, probably lessen the chances of an attack, and B, have the best opportunity to help the person, trying to find common ground. So with those people you asked me about personally, I don't, you know, the groups I had been a part of, I preached a lot of the no fear and approaching cases from a position of no fear. I want to think that they were not in fear when, you know, they might have been pushed or scratched, etc. But then again, our perception of those things also may be negative when maybe, you know, they weren't that big a deal. But I wanted to make the reader aware of them too.
Yeah. I think also that as you were saying too, that the more self-aware you are, the easier it is to recognize that, you know, when it's coming through. I did have another experience where I did have an energy presence rush towards me, and I felt pain. I actually felt pain in my ankle as though I was getting a cut there or something. It felt like that. And then when I recognized it, I immediately sent love and said, this is not acceptable. And immediately after I did that, the pain disappeared and the energy just was there with me, but was not in that attack mode that I felt. And so I guess I'm just, you know, I feel that as you were saying, that the more aware that you are and the more that you do not accept that type of interaction and send love, the more that it will be received in that way, even if the energy or the presence is still observing you. And I guess that leads me to the next question as to, like, our relationship with them, and that sometimes maybe, I think you had mentioned in the book, too, that sometimes they just want to be part of the conversation or something that's going on, and they are in the presence of us for a reason, maybe that to learn or just by observing us, too.
Think that. I don't like the idea that the grave is the end all, and that, you know, that's where I had once believed that it was the end of learning, the end of, you know, the end of knowledge. You live this life, you die, you go to heaven or hell, and there's your fate. You know, you're either sitting on a cloud with a harp, or, you know, you're running around being chased by a devil and his pitchfork in the flames of a fiery gulf. I think we're too fatalistic in our beliefs. I just think that we're ever learning, and I think that there's many ways to learn and many experiences and many paths that are required. And in some cases, you know, the path of the, you know, the earthbound spirit to, you know, be stuck here and observe the living or go through the things that they go through are what they need to, you know, learn to choose differently. Once you get tired of something, you're looking for a way out. And I think that's why, you know, I talk a lot about the help messages, the recording of help, help me, help us, that type of thing, that I kept recording over and over to the point of just heartbreaking and bugging me, you know, that I've got to figure something out here because, you know, they're asking for help. Well, to me, those people in spirit have already got to that point where, you know, they just need to learn a simple lesson, perhaps, to move forward. They want out, you know. Others, though, were just, quite happy where they were at and in the experiences that they were involved with. Still, I tried to communicate with them and help them to see something different in order for them to move forward. And so I just never looked at it as bad to help. But also, I don't think we're going to be able to help everybody, every time. Sometimes they need that experience, and we may deem it a failure, but really it's a lesson that, that they need to learn from.
Well, for years and years, I also did the voice phenomena, too, the spirit recordings. And as you said, Lewis, it broke my heart as well, because there were so many different kinds of personalities, but so many were, there was a cry for help. And a lot of the evil ones people think are evil, they weren't evil. They were just regular people. It was a cry for help and attention. And I just felt like we needed to have a responsibility, just as a responsibility to help someone here on the street that, needs money or is sitting there bleeding and needs help. These spirits and these ghosts are doing the same thing. And we have a responsibility because they are looking towards us. As you said before, they're looking towards us and not looking towards the spirit guides that are helping them. And they're trying to hang on to this earthly realm and listening to us. And what do a majority of the people here have about that? A fear and a misunderstanding. And it just doesn't suit us. And I really believe that as our new age is coming and we're starting to realize that this is an important step in creating a healing for ourselves and humanity, and that we understand, hey, we're going to be there someday. Maybe it's up to you and I and this book to really open humanity's eyes towards the responsibility we have to get past the fear and find an understanding. It would just be a whole new dawn for people like that.
Yeah, a unity, a oneness, an elevation of the whole, as we might call it, and healing. Again, it's just I feel so compelled to share that, true love does not see or believe in separation. I mean, to me, it's just impossible to say that love, that a loving energy, whether you believe in God or the force or, one energy or, whatever label you want to put on, scientists will call it an energy, whatever label you want to put on it, it's just impossible to think that a true loving energy, a God, a divine, et cetera, could see a part of him or herself or itself separate and be okay with that and say that was love or even be the cause of that. The nonsensical ideas of that God created humanity all knowing in advance that this portion would be lost for eternity and had no power to reconcile them or bring them out of their despair is just ludicrous. I mean, it's not even something that an all intelligent being could be about. I just feel completely certain of that. And so I just think true love sees unity, sees peace, sees joy, sees connection, sees the beauty in the different paths that we're all on. But yet, though we're on different paths, though we're all individuals, we're still a part of a greater thing. And not just us, but, the entire universe is connected. And it's just a phenomenal, it's something phenomenal to try to comprehend.
I agree with you that we really are shifting. I'm calling, as you said, too. Really into releasing fear and fear that we have created from the beliefs that we have collected. And we're now kind of, at the process here where we can release these things and realize what they are and if they're serving us and if they're not, and we can release them. And not only fears that we've taken in for certain things, but also fear of the unknown and kind of shifting this around. And it's books like yours, Lewis, both of your books, is within religion as well as within the area here of ghosts, of just releasing the fear of the unknown and the fear of these experiences and that we are connected and releasing the separation, the whole idea of separation, because once we do that, it opens up this whole area of everywhere, you know, and experiencing. We open up the possibility of all these experiences that we can have. And I think that there is a lot of shifting going on in that way. And Colin, I talk a lot about that too within relationships, that we're even releasing the old way of interacting and relating with each other and you know, in human relationships. And, of course, the more that we do that on all these levels, the more we can have these relationships with those that are not in physical body but still, you know, in presence with us.
Absolutely. I can't add to that.
It's true. I have to believe that the book is going far beyond just, you know, some more, you know, rescue circles or just beyond a more voice phenomenon, cries for help. It's really about, you know, this book is actually, I think, focusing more on us and this releasing of the fear and separation. We've been talking a lot about separation on this show, and it's really starting to make a huge mark on myself and everyone else listening that these separations are dividing not us, but are dividing ourselves within ourselves and understandings of who we are. And if we knew who we are and we loved who we are, we wouldn't have any fear about relationships. We wouldn't have any fear about ghosts. We would have a peace and understanding. And once again, you know, this book is really helping us realize that we're going to be spirits too. And not all of us are in a place, you know, we listen to shows like this and we read books all the time to try to find peace within ourselves. But these are people that can find peace now, you know, and we have a responsibility to help us and we have a responsibility to help ourselves and bring this whole new age. So it's definitely a book far beyond what you would just typically think about the ghost and their situations. It's more about us and the whole universal healing. It's just wonderful.
Well, thank you so much. The idea was to bridge to bridge the paranormal crowd, the spiritual crowd, the falling away from religion crowd to, you know, just to try to give a perspective that maybe all of us could try to grasp hold of, and then in the process, hopefully learn something about ourselves. You know, I had written the first book, and it was done by June 2009, and, you know, it was that book's the Jesus Religion book for those that are out there. And, you know, still not happy with it, would like to do it, you know, rewrite it again and have it re-edited, and, you know, but it just got to the point by June 2009, I just had to get it off my desk. I couldn't take it any longer. So
right.
I said enough. And I, you know, went out and spoke quite a bit about it and for a few months, but by the time I got to October, I was kind of burnt out on doing a whole lot of talking about it. I did some engagements after that, some shows and stuff, but I was really nagged that inside me that I needed to get the Helping Ghosts written. I needed to get this message out there. And I thought, you know, I'd wait a couple years and take a break. But, you know, I penned it in about 3 months and about another 4 months of editing, rewrites and that kind of thing, but it just seemed to really come together for me a lot easier than the first book. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm very proud of it. Not that I did it, but, you know, because I think there's been a lot of others involved that did it. I think that I'm just proud that the message itself has meaning.
It definitely does on lots of levels, and I just want to honor you and, you know, have you take a step back to honor yourself here, because, you know, the more that you became aware of your higher self and going within, the more you're able to hear the messages and the guidance, you know, that does guide you. And I'm feeling that same way with my second book here that I'm
have dappled into now, and I'm feeling the same thing you were feeling, I have to get into this now, you know. And it's like, it's kind of like your mother telling you got to clean the house, you know, or clean your rooms. Like, you have to do this now.
She doesn't get quiet until you do it, does she?
No, exactly right. Definitely. And so I totally know, and I feel the same way, and that I've grown in my journey too, that I've been listening here now, you know, when I got to do the next endeavor. And so I just wanted to honor you for that and following that. And it's definitely perfect, perfect timing. And I really feel that this is just the messages and what you're doing with this book is just going to be so huge. And it already is by your seeing the, you know, the people's reactions to it. And in addition to that, I can already see how the more that we awaken to this and we really take in the messages you're saying here and have the interaction and be open to the relationship we can have with spirits and ghosts and if there are other dimensions that we aren't aware of in the second, and to be open to that, the quicker that we can release, once we release the body, and the quicker we can go to the next level of awareness and so forth. And I just see like this huge like circle of effect, you know, with the messages in this book. And if the more and more people, humans, you know, awaken to this, the more ghosts will as well, and the more spirits will, and the more we will all ascend, as you said, that when one does, we all do.
Well, you know, there's other people out there around the world that are hearing this message, and just, I know we're running out of time here, but Don from the UK is working on a book, you know, I think it's something about knowing is beyond belief, and her experiences, and very much mirror, you know, mine with regard to the messages that, you know, I'd gleaned from ghosts and spirits. And so it's amazing to me that other people on other continents are hearing similar messages and being guided to get the word out. Now, I have got to tell people where you can get Helping Ghosts, because I want to see a change. So help me get the word out there, everybody. And it's as simple as helpingghost.com. The book's available there. It's also on Amazon, and it's at barnesandnoble.com. So helpingghost.com. That's simple. And you can find me on Facebook, Lewis Charles on Facebook. So write me.
Yes, absolutely. And we have 2 minutes left, so if there's anything else you'd like to share with our listeners about the book or any messages that you'd like to give.
Well, I would just tell you, you know, we talked a lot about deep things. I would just share with the audience, you know, the book Helping Ghosts, with the subtitle A Guide to Understanding Lost Spirits, is sort of one part adventure story and then one part practical guidebook. It's like an instruction book. So when you start going through it and you're following me through the stories and the encounters and the messages, and you're grasping what you know, the messages I'm getting from ghosts, etc., and then what I'm speaking to them, and then the results, by the end you're going to have a guidebook that you can use out in the field. So if you have a haunting, resolve it. This is a way to do it. It's through compassionate communication. If you're a paranormal investigator, go the extra distance and you know, instead of gathering evidence, gather evidence and then do something with it. So that's my message.
Wonderful.
Help ghosts.
Well, thank you so much, Lewis, for being on the show. And I'll definitely have to talk to you about our chat that we had mentioned about having, so that people can be part of that as well. We'll talk in further detail about that. So we'll definitely share more. This is just the beginning, and I really appreciate you being on here. It's just been amazing, as it was the first time, and it just gets better and better.
Yeah, we're waiting for the third book, Lewis. Thank you.
No third book. I don't want to write anything else. I just want to get the message out. Hey, it's always a pleasure. I always have a great time with you, too. Thank you so much. Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah,
thank you
so much, Lewis. Have a wonderful rest of your evening.
You too. You too.
Colin, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. We have like 30 seconds, so I just wanted to say that thanks again for, of course, you being on here too. It's just awesome to have you on here, and the whole threesome we had here was really beautiful.
Thank you, Gabriella. You have a great night.
Thank you.
You too. Thanks, Con.